Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
And we're glad to have with us again, to celebrate and to recognize National Autism Awareness Month, Tish Bartlett, the Executive Director of the Autism Society of Northwestern Pennsylvania. Tish, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you got it here. It's so great to have you here. And give us an update on some of the things that have been happening over this past year. And you have a lot of big news, don't you?
Yes, we have been very busy people. Besides kind of reinventing under the pandemic and being able to figure out how to bring our individuals back together to overcome the social isolation, we were also busy and we found a new home.
Wow.
We have worked diligently and we were able to purchase a building right here in the heart of Erie at 3308 State Street. We purchased that February of 2021. We spent our summer completely renovating.
Wow.
We demoed, we renovated, we rebuilt, and we proudly opened in September of 2021 our new family educational center to support those individuals right here in our local communities living with autism.
It really sounds like when you say family educational center, it really sounds like this is for the entire family to be able to get resources and get and be a part of a community beyond just the person who is has the diagnosis, right?
Yes, we're here to support the entire family. Of course, the individual living with autism themselves, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever needs the support, the resources, that's what we're here for. We're in the trenches with our family, walking the same walk, and no one should ever feel alone. And that's our goal. So build those connections, help them reach their ultimate desires and dreams, and never feel isolated. So our new family center has an open door, and we've made it so it's welcoming and it feels like the home away from home. We spent the time to do sound deadening ceiling tiles, quiet bathroom fans so you can't hear them. Our lights can be dimmable. Our colors are neutral, warm, and welcoming. We have insulation on the interior walls to deaden sounds. So our individuals come in and they feel like this is their home. And I am proud to say that our kiddos from our Lego club and our teen club love the new place.
It sounds like it. You know, these type of major capital projects don't come overnight. How long have you been working on developing this family center?
So my board of directors has been real diligent, and we have done our due diligence in our fundraising and, you know, making wise decisions. So we actively started looking for a building in beginning of 2019. It was really hard because we are a nonprofit and we knew it needed to have open programming space. It needed to have parking. We wanted to stay centrally located. And so we looked at a lot of buildings. Our real estate agent was a diehard.
Right.
It stuck with us. And so,
I mean, were there structural things you wanted to deal with, like keep it on one floor, or, you know, the parking part, I'm sure, was a big deal, right?
Parking was a big deal, and making it ADA accessible was vital. So we were looking for, you know, mainly one floor or building that was already ADA accessible, or one that would be easily adaptable without breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cost of the building, we had to be able to afford and then renovate on top of that to make it sensory friendly, welcoming, and open. So we successfully did that, and we are proud of it. We love to give tours, so please come up.
I will. I you know, I'm so interested in this topic and the work that you do. I love that you say on your website, the goal of our organization is to share our contacts, our experiences, and our friendships. And again, you're always pointing people to the resources that are out there. And so it really occurs to me is, has the demand, especially now post-pandemic, or we're in this quasi-post-pandemic era, is demand for the services of the Autism Society even grown more than ever?
Yes, tremendously. Besides the pandemic, new numbers were released by the CDC that now 1 in 44 children are identified with autism. And they're still estimating that over 58,000 adults by 2025 will be living with autism right in Pennsylvania.
Just in PA. Wow.
Just in PA. And so we kind of describe this as the freight train is coming, and we need to stay ahead of that and plan ahead so we can provide the supports and necessary therapeutic program to help our families during these transition years and prepare them with life skills, job skills, so they can live as independently as possible. And that was the goal of the Family Center.
Tish, has the portfolio changed as to what people are demanding or what people are requiring from the Autism Society? I mean, from what you used to do, maybe even just 5 years ago, to what you do now?
I would say yes. We used to provide our family gatherings, those social outings monthly, to get families together, experience local venues in a sensory-friendly environment. That was really a demand. And then our therapeutic building connections, Lego Club. Mm. And since that, in the last 5 years, we had a Friends and Pals Teen Club socially. It's just social connection.
Sure.
But the demand changed where they wanted more from that club. They wanted to meet weekly. They wanted to include more building relationships, more educational components, not classroom education, but life skills education. Wow. Those unwritten social rules, such as understanding relationships, understanding social media and the safety of that, consequences, secret, private talk, different things like that, that just do not come naturally for an individual living with autism. And so our program has evolved to add a curriculum called Healthy Relationships. And we're teaching our teenagers and young adults these components to live fully and be employable. They're going to be our future employees.
Yeah. Boy, this whole topic here of safety has come up recently, so it obviously is a hot topic. Let's open the phones here. Hi, you're live with Joel Natale and Tish Bartlett here on Talk Erie.
Hey, Joel. Tish, T-I-S-H?
T-I-S-H, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Hey, Tish, I was wondering, can you explain, short explanation or overview, what happened to the designation of Asperger's?
Let me have her answer you off the air. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right.
Just our system is such, it's better for them to listen on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. So back in around 2011, 2012, they rewrote the DSM, so the DSM-5, and they took the autism diagnosis and they put it all under one umbrella where it's called the autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
And it has three levels, level one, level two, level three. So the original classifications such as Asperger's, classic autism, PDD-NOS, persuasive developmental disorder, all of those are now listed under autism spectrum disorder, or commonly referred to as ASD.
Okay.
And so that's where the Asperger's went to. I know we have some adults that were originally diagnosed with Asperger's that still identify with that diagnosis, but over the years, it's now all considered part of the spectrum.
When you're, I would imagine that as more and more adults, we used to associate autism with little guys, and now you're saying there's adults, all throughout Pennsylvania and throughout the country. How is that? I mean, is it a situation where you're talking to an employer about your diagnosis, or you choose not to? What works the best for? There's probably no one answer, is there, Tish?
There's no one answer. It really has to be a personal preference, because I would never disclose. My son is 18 now.
Okay.
And as being his own independent person and an adult, it's not my place to make that decision if it should be disclosed. So it should be the individual's decision.
Of course, yes.
So if they decide to disclose it, they, by all means, they should be able to openly and comfortably disclose that they do have autism and they're, living with autism. Mm-hmm. And I would really hope on the other part that the employer would have knowledge and be open-minded and accept that and learn to work with it and what they can do to accommodate. And what we're working with our kiddos.
Well, it's some accommodation, but it's also, there's a lot of benefit from someone who comes, with a diagnosis. They're very, many folks are highly skilled individuals.
Hyper-focused. They're going to show up on time. They're very structured, schedule-oriented. So they're going to be your ones that are right there when you tell them 8 to 5. They're going to be there before 8, ready to go. They're, the old talking around the water cooler, which makes my age stand out.
Right.
But they're not going to be the ones staying around the water cooler talking. They're going to be focused on the job at task and complete the work to the best of their ability. I would say, as a parent and the hundreds of children I've had the honor of working with over the last 13 years, they are some of the most passionate, most caring and dedicated individuals you'll have the opportunity to employ.
So it does beg the question, though, is how much outreach do you do as the Autism Society for potential employers to kind of get their to give them their homework so they can understand, boy, here's some opportunity here for you to get some excellent employees and move your company forward.
Well, actually,
that was a softball that she's smashing it outside of UPMC Park there.
So we, we've grown up over the years,
sure.
And we've grown with the needs and the wants and desires of our families. So we've always done community presentations, but we're becoming more formalized in our therapeutic program and community support. And we are going to be launching, about 11 new programs over the next 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
When one of them would be an Autism 101. It's two parts, though. Part of the Autism 101 is for our parents, our families, our newly diagnosed, our ones that are going through transition. Come learn about autism. It's a whole new language and acronyms,
right,
and where to go, where to get your help. So we're going to walk with them and teach them that. But then we're also going to have the community portion of Autism 101, where we can go out into the community to employers, to stores, to clubs, to activities, whoever desires that education, and we will be able to provide that. So sorry, I said.
Yeah, it's
growing,
coming.
And it's a need because we're trying to stay ahead of that freight train.
Okay, Tish, let's talk about the Autism Awareness Month. What are you trying to accomplish with this particular month?
So the first thing we're trying to accomplish is rename it.
Oh, okay.
So that initiative was launched actually last year.
That's right.
Yes. With Autism Society of America, which is our national organization that we are affiliated with. We share the name and brand only. And then there's 70 other affiliates across the U.S. that share the name and brand as well, but we're all independent for funding and programming. So last year, they launched a campaign to change it to Autism Acceptance Month.
Okay.
We're at the point, it's time to accept. So we're communicating that. And in April, you know, traditionally, as you said, has been Autism Awareness Month for many, many years.
Right.
And so we still offer opportunities. Of course, we have our annual Walk for Autism, our signature event. And this year is 21 years.
Oh, wow.
21st annual Walk for Autism will be held on April 23rd. We are at Lake Erie Speedway now.
Okay.
We're moving.
Yes.
We grew that much. We're
go around
we're
the
moving.
Speedway. Wow.
Yeah. We, you know, we will miss our Presque Isle site, but we needed a larger space, ample parking.
Sure.
They have a beautiful venue, easy access, lots of parking, indoor restrooms.
There you go.
I like that.
Yes.
We're bringing in food trucks this year, local food trucks, vendors. We'll have kids' activities, two basket auctions. We're doing a deluxe auction with some high-end prizes, and then our traditional, of course, amazing baskets.
Nice.
And we do our walk. We walk around the track. We're going to walk up on the around the track a couple times and then up around the backside of the track. We want to keep it interesting.
Sure.
So we're very excited to be back in person after 2 years of...
Have a virtual walk.
We're back in person. We are already at just under 1,500 pre-registrations.
Fantastic.
So there's still time to register. Go on our website, autismnwpa.org. You can get registered. We'd love to see you. It's amazing to have that community support and our families to feel everyone surrounding them and supporting them and walking the walk with them. It's so important.
You know, the hashtag for this year's Autism Acceptance Month, and it's really, I misspoke, but you know, it all depends on which website you're looking at here. Celebrate differences.
Yes.
Talk. What does that mean to you?
So that was also part of a national campaign for all of our affiliates in the Autism Society. And it's celebrating differences is that we're all different. We're all unique. We all bring something special to the table. And it's time to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's embrace our differences. So no matter if you're neurotypical, if you're identified with autism, you're important and you're unique. And let's celebrate that.
That's super cool. And again, you know, I think the data and the understanding is getting so much more. Like, again, even as you set out to build more programs for more awareness and more understanding, you know, where we've come from to where we are now has grown exponentially, hasn't it? I mean,
yes.
just trying to understand and also there's it's an important thing to be able to generate income to fund these programs. Again, you're seeing high demand for what you have to offer from these families.
Mm-hmm. And the Autism Society, our organization, does not receive federal, state, or county funding or insurance reimbursement. We are 100% fundraising dollars.
Wow.
Everything that we offer, we bring, has all been provided by generous donors, our family support, our fundraising events. So for the first time, last year, we launched a major gift campaign, and we're embracing this to be able to expand, pay for our new building,
yeah, sure.
Continue our renovation. We have a plan for a phase two. Our building is amazing, but we do have a lower level that we would like to finish to have some more open programming space.
Mm-hmm.
Our teen club is really eyeing up that space, anxiously waiting.
Sure,
they
sure.
want to move
wow.
in. And then also to expand our programs, to add those new, our 3 to 5 year plan of those vital programs for things for, as we mentioned before, job skills, life skills, adult programmings. Our structured activities right now, our teen club and our Lego club cap out at age 21.
Okay.
And we need to go beyond that. We get calls daily from parents and caregivers and support that are looking for somewhere that a young adult, 25, 26 and up, that are looking for a place where they can come for some social support. And that's what we need to do, and that's our plan. We're going to expand, and we're going to start offering these opportunities.
Let's talk about some facts and statistics. You mentioned at the top of the show, 1 in 44 children are diagnosed with autism, and since 2000, the autism prevalence rate is consistently increasing from 1 in 150 to now 1 in 44. But that's not that there's that many more autistic kids. It's the diagnoses are getting better, right?
Yes, there's more understanding. There's a lot more. We really encourage the intervention, early intervention. There's, you know, checklists now for children during the Well Baby checks to make sure they're meeting their milestones.
Okay.
So we're doing a better job of identifying earlier, getting them out into those intervention programs that are so important for long-term more positive outcomes. The other thing is we're understanding the diagnosing of girls now, because it's always, and it's still, there's more prominently boys being identified with autism than young ladies. So there's about 4 to 1 that
you're gonna see. Is there any emerging science on why that is?
No, a lot of our young ladies are not identified as young. They're being identified later in those middle school years. I mean, girls are innately more social.
Okay.
We're more social people. Sorry.
Sorry, Joel. So basically, if things are coming out as less than social, then people start investigating.
Right. Those key things, how a young child, you know, meets the milestones, mm-hmm. if they're interacting, playing appropriately, the speech development, their peer-to-peer interaction. So we have seen a significant increase in young ladies in our teen club.
Really?
We did. Our teen club's been around for 6 years now, and we have 37 participants now in our current club. Of that, 7 of them are girls,
okay.
which I'm really happy for them that they have found us and they have found their fellow female partners to grow with. But we're seeing more and more young ladies coming through our doors now.
Gotcha.
So I'm to that attributing that we've learned more and we've understood more in the diagnosing process. But the future, unfortunately, for those, you know, over 18, it's bleak. I mean, the stats right now are 85% experience unemployment, 33% do attend, you know, only 33% attend college, and 40% are living with relatives or family. So
they're not able to be fully independent.
Yeah, or they haven't had the foundation skills that they need to live independently. And that's where we're coming in. We're working
but
on that.
But is there any ranking of that depending on where on the spectrum they might be? I mean, is there a threshold that would say, you know, this person is high functioning, they should be able to live independently. This person is not, they're going to always need some attendance.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our individuals that are more profoundly affected on with it being a spectrum, we have individuals that are minimal verbal, non-communicative.
Okay.
They do have some words, but they're always going to need a caregiver to help them, guide them, protect them. So, and then our individuals that are higher functioning, you know, we need to teach them and give them their skills so they can live independently one day, because they're going to need to. We, you know, the
parents don't last forever. Yeah.
No, they don't. And the reality is there's limited resources of what can be provided to help support them. So we need to do our best to give them the skills so they are employable and they can live as independently as possible.
What did we do 50 years ago? I mean, again, I don't think we had the word, but we certainly had people presenting with what we would call now autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it was a bleak time that many times if you presented with some of the symptoms, they, you know, you went to an institution type type life. And, you know, thank goodness we've gotten away from that. And they're, you know, everybody is living inclusively in our community. And then growing up, you can think back, there are so many children that struggled in school that maybe were not identified.
I've told you this before. Every time you're on, I remember kids in my little Catholic grade school that obviously would have been, you know, in a modern era diagnosed.
Yeah, we received phone calls for men and women. I had a grandmother. She was in her 70s, and she called me, and she said, "I think I have autism." She was, "I've struggled my entire life." And she saw an interview, she read a book, and she said, "It really helped me understand how I view things and why certain things have affected me." That kind of that aha moment. So the sad thing is all those years, she had no idea what she was struggling with. Mm. The good news is she finally knows,
right,
and can work through that and move forward.
Do you feel that, again, you talked earlier about this freight train that's coming, you know, the thousands of adults that will be, you know, will be hitting our society here in, and what are some of the solution side that we need to be looking at? What, on a policy basis, what would you love to see your state senator or state representatives be thinking about?
Funding job prep, life skills prep programs such as what the Autism Society is willing to offer, and we're working on trying to find funding for that. So to embrace that and be willing to help secure that funding for organizations such as ourselves so we can teach them those skills and give them the absolute best foundation to live the fullest, most independent life possible.
How do you feel that the life skills prep or the life skills classes that are currently in our K-12 system are doing?
In the school system?
In the school systems.
Yeah. Well, I think our educators do the absolutely best they can, but it's time on task. They have a lot of students on their caseload. They have a lot of time, and they have a lot of academics they have to teach. So, you know, it's hard. They don't have the luxury of all the time in the world to work on those relationship development skills, the navigating the lunchroom, the reading a room, the understanding the difference between an acquaintance, a friend, a close relative, a romantic relationship, the safety of social media. I mean, we put a lot on our teachers and our school districts to teach math, reading, writing. You know,
sure,
science, social studies, but then to also have those unwritten social skills, they only have so much time. And so that's where we fit in. We're their partner. We collaborate with all the school districts around here and to help them and provide those unique programs that they don't have the opportunity to teach. So I'll give you a little highlight. We just finished a 6-week program called Small Bites. We collaborated with Common Threads. And we taught our teens nutrition and how to make a healthy snack on their own. They learned cutting, measuring, reading the recipe, and they were able to successfully make their own snack from a smoothie to a salsa to a granola mix, and they enjoyed it. And what was really neat is, you know, a lot of our kiddos have limited palates. Mm. So they came in, "I'm not doing that, I'm not eating that." And by the end, they were so proud of what they made, they attempted. Did they always like it? No. But, but they were willing to try it.
But it's one step beyond chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But they were so willing to try it because they made it. And they were proud of themselves.
Very cool.
And we were proud of them. And these are the steps to being able to take care of yourself. Things that we take for granted. You know, we don't understand all the struggles because those unwritten social skills, those life skills, just came. You just learned them. You know, you probably look back and go, I don't remember when I learned how to measure to make something.
Hey, I didn't know how to make a salad, and I was out of college. I had a bachelor's degree, did not know how to make a salad. But I was very pampered as a kid.
Yeah, you could have come to our program.
I sure could have. Talk about, speaking of parents, talk about parent partnerships. Because I would imagine you have to navigate that very delicately because you have parents that are coping, right? Parents that are highly emotionally engaged, yet there's all these skills to be taught.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we fit in. Parents are exhausted. We just were discussing this at a parent panel last night. You know, some days our moms and dads are doing everything just to keep it together because it may have been a really rough night. Their child didn't sleep. They were having tantrums. They're exhausted. And they're just so happy to have help with teaching these skills. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like we're partners with our parents because we're their support system. If they're having a rough day, we have our Lego club or our teen club. Our parents gather in a room if they would like. It's also what we consider respite care. They can drop and run. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I think I might want to do that.
Get
coffee. Go meet a friend. Go to the grocery store. I mean, I can remember my son was little and I got to go to the drugstore by myself. It was like a Friday night party.
The drugstore, mind you.
Yeah. That's right. To do something independently.
I think I'm going to buy 2 bottles of ibuprofen.
Yeah. So that's what we are. We're their partners.
Yeah.
And they can feel comfortable coming and dropping their son or daughter off at one of our therapeutic clubs. They're going to be safe. We're going to take care of them, and they can enjoy that time. Or if they have the opportunity to stay, we have an open program room where our parents gather. We provide coffee, tea, water, snacks, and they can stay. And then they're each other's support system. And I have always said, your best support network is those that are walking the same walk with you. And then you know, it regenerates your energy and you understand you're not the only one having these experiences. You're not the only one feeling overwhelmed. You're not the only one questioning your parent skills because they don't come with handbooks. Mm. We're all learning. We're all learning. And well, even if you had a neurotypical child and then you had a child with autism, it's completely different. You're learning. I do have an older child, neurotypical. I had to throw out that parent handbook and start all over and figure out how to navigate the waters with my son. And I can say now, when he's 18, he's amazing. I wouldn't change it for the world. If you asked me when he was 6, I would have said, I'm the worst parent. I'm not going to make it through the end of the day. It is so hard. But there's hope, and just reach out and ask for help. Call us, email us, stop in. That's what we're here for. We're to help you get through it.
It is. It's a total holistic approach to, okay, this is what's happened. Now let's walk this partnership together.
Yes. Yep. No
that's
one
amazing.
Should ever feel alone. And that's my final words I will always say is no one should ever feel alone.
Let's talk about support. And again, you mentioned that early identification is associated with dramatically better outcomes for people with autism. But there's no such thing as a test, right? There's no blood work or you can't, you know, you have to, how do you diagnose it then?
So we refer out, we get a lot of calls daily, you know, probably 5 or 6 a day for individuals that are concerned and questioning if their son or daughter might have autism. So we refer out to local psychologists. That's not our thing for we don't diagnose. And what they do is they have, it's observation, parent input. They have, they still have the ADOS testing. It's not used as primary now, but there's some educational academic type testing. But so the parents, the child will meet with the psychologist and observation feedback. And then that's how the diagnosis is done. So, I mean, there's some signs that we're all aware of is, you know, insisting on sameness, repetitive behaviors, sometimes communicative challenges, the not age appropriate play. They're not developing as like their typical peers. Some of our kiddos have no fear of danger.
Wow.
And then others are hypersensitive and overly fearful. So, I mean, when you say spectrum,
right,
there are no two kiddos, young adults with autism that are the same. I said way back in my beginning of my tenure that they're like snowflakes. No two are alike. Mm-hmm. And you may have some common patterns, but they're all going to have their differences, their uniqueness.
Do you feel that, Erie, again, with the efforts of the Autism Society and other agencies here in town, are we resource rich for treatment, for better outcomes for our autism kids?
We really are.
Were you telling me that people some people moved from the Pacific Northwest?
Yes, we've had people that have migrated here. One of my parents just shared with me last night that there's two individuals from outer counties that are moving into closer to Erie because of what is offered through the Autism Society as well as other supports. I mean, unfortunately, right now, with the way the whole entire world is, I mean, everybody is short-staffed. Our providers, medical, it's all short-staffed. So there is a delay in receiving those professional-type services. But the Autism Society, we have the inability to say no. Our clubs
Your
are...
Your door's open.
Yeah, our door is open. We have 37 teen clubbers right now. Mm-hmm. And we have two Lego locations, and we have 103 in our Lego club. And we're willing. We want them to come and enjoy themselves and know that they belong.
The information I'm looking at says currently there is no cure for autism, but is there anything promising on the therapeutic side?
Yes, therapy is so important. So, I mean, personally, I can talk as a mom that behavior modification was a lifesaver for us. My son struggled in the early years with behavior, aggression, acting out, not understanding how to desensitize himself, overstimulated. And so we had some rough years where he was kind of violent, but we stuck to those behavior plans, those positive behavior plans, and gave him those outlets that he needed. And he is a successful junior in high school. He's an honor student.
Wow.
And some of the parents now that are coming up the ranks, when I have my chance to talk and I tell about those early years and how, you know, it was talking about borderline out of home placement, they're like, I've met him. That's not possible.
Wow.
I said he should be the poster child. I mean, it's just, it's hard. It's not an easy road. It's a lot of treading the water, hills and valleys. It always gets worse before it gets better. But in the long term, you want to do that when your child is 5, 6, 30 pounds versus 21 and 150 pounds.
Yes.
You want to do that.
Last question for Tish Bartlett here. What would you ask of the community? Again, there's fundraising, there's other opportunities, but make that pitch to the community to join with you as a partner.
So, we, of course, as you said, we have need donations. We have a major gift campaign. If you're interested in investing in our family center, investing in the future of our kiddos and young adults living with autism, give us a call, 814-455-3540. We would love to have that support. We're proud of our family center. We'd love to share that with you. We also have our walk coming up. If you would like to join, make a donation, register, join us at the walk. Let our community know that you're there and that you're here to support them. And we also, we're still a staff of 1.5. We do all this with 1.5. So
volunteerism.
Volunteers.
Wow.
Our volunteers are the keystone of our organization. We love them. We need them. We value them. So if you're looking to give back to your community and you want to volunteer, reach out to us. We definitely could use your help.
Thank you so much. Tish Bartlett, the executive director of the Autism Society of Northwestern Pennsylvania. I always love our chats, Tish.
Yes, thank you. I like to meet with you too.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.